Welcome to the Mission Critical Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Hebert, creator of the Mission Critical Coaching System, where we take a unique, holistically based approach to your personal growth. We examine all aspects of your life and leadership and engage your heart and mind so that we can unlock your full potential to be, do, and have it all. On this episode, we take a look at the need to not just chase goals, but to be a person worthy of the goals you are chasing. Let's figure out how to develop that skill coming up on today's episode. Welcome back, everybody, to the Mission Critical Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Justin Hebert, and this is episode 7. And as I mentioned in the introduction, I wanted to talk today about a person, being a person worthy of the goals we're chasing. Now, in the context of coaching, we set a lot of goals. It is built into the foundation, into the fabric. We start the very first session together talking about goals. And it's usually a question along the lines, if we're going to work together for a year, what are some of the goals that you would like to accomplish? What makes it a good investment for you? How could you look back at the past year of your life and know that it was a worthwhile investment of your time, of your energy, of your money, of your focus, that of all of the things that it's going to require of you in this year of coaching, what are the metrics that would make it successful to you, right? And that's goals. We talked in a previous episode before about the need to set smarter goals. I'll go ahead and provide a link in the show notes below about what that looks like. But we've talked before on this podcast about how to set good goals. How is it that we gain clarity? How is it that we gain insight? How do we overcome some of those objections, right? We've all set New Year's resolutions that just didn't get fulfilled. And we knew it. And maybe we knew we weren't going to, but we did it because we felt pressure and burden to do so. And so we talk in the coaching context about what it looks like to set goals that are meaningful, that are significant, that are motivating, that are rewarding. Really how to set those smarter goals so we can find and experience that sustained level of success. And goals are good. Goals are great. Goals are worthwhile. We need goals. Goals helps us in that relationship, in that tension between motivation and discipline. And I used to tell people in the gym world, when I worked in the gym and oversaw a couple of gyms and helped, if you only work out when you're motivated, you're going to work out maybe a couple of times a week, right? Particularly in the New Year's context, in the gym, it's a cash system. Everybody wants to set those goals, and so the gym is just signing people up left and right, and we do the vast majority of our memberships in the month of January because everybody is motivated to change. But motivation looks different than discipline. See, if we're motivated, we're maybe excited about working out. If we're motivated, we feel some level of enthusiasm. We have this emotional response, this positive emotional response to change. And so motivation is about, hey, I feel good. Hey, I feel happy. Hey, I feel like everything is going okay right now. I'm going to make a change. Work out, eat a healthy meal, take a walk, drink some water, go on a date, whatever it is, right? When we are motivated, we have that emotional response to growth. The problem is we aren't always motivated. We can't be. Motivation is exhausting. It is emotionally draining on us to be motivated. And I don't think we realize that. when you're motivated for change, when you're excited, that kind of initial burst of dopamine that has you just feeling good, the high, the chemical high that goes on in your body when you're motivated to change is also exhausting. Being motivated is not a sustainable pace of life. And so in contrast to that, you also have to be willing to put in the work. You have to be willing to put in the effort. You have to be willing to do some time. You have to be willing to invest mental effort and energy and money at times where you aren't motivated. And that means to be a person of discipline. If you only work out when you're motivated, you're going to work out a couple of times a week. But if you work out when you're disciplined, you're going to work out every single day. When it's January 1st and you're like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds and this is the year, and you're motivated for the first week, you're going to show up every single day and you're going to feel good. And then you're going to get tired and your muscles are going to ache. Your bones are not going to want to work because they're tired and they want that rest. After that first week, you're going to realize, I hate my new diet plan. I hate this new meal plan. I don't want to meal prep another week. I don't want to go to the gym. I can't drag myself to another class. After about a week, that motivation wears off. And then you think, and then what? What drives you after the motivation wears off? That has to be discipline. That has to be the mental commitment to say, I will do this no matter what. Discipline, focused discipline, is the thing that allows us to put in the work even when we don't want to. It might work out when you're motivated once or twice a week, but if you work out when you're disciplined, you will be there every single day. You might eat healthy when you're motivated, and you'll have a few good meals every week. But when you are disciplined in what you eat, you'll eat healthy every meal. Let's take it out of the gym world. If you practice financial fitness when you're motivated, you're going to make some good financial decisions and maybe say no to some splurges, or maybe not the latest Amazon binge. But if you practice financial fitness when you are disciplined, you're going to be relentless about getting out of debt and pursuing the things that really matter to you. You're going to delay instant gratification and pursue long-term financial health. If you practice mental health when you are motivated, you might see your therapist every couple of weeks, or read a good book, or attend a conference once a year. But when you are disciplined in your mental health, you will regularly engage in the activities that make you mentally strong, that make you mentally fit. You will constantly be reading and devouring books and always looking for more. You'll be engaged in intellectual conversations that stimulate you to think in new and creative ways. You will be talking to a counselor or a coach, a therapist, whoever it is. See, motivation is a temporary, fleeting, chemically based decision in our brain, and discipline is the thing that allows us to put in the work even when we don't want to. Now, why does all of that matter? Why that big, long discussion, look, examination at the difference between motivation and discipline? Because embedded within that is not just the ability to pursue our goals, but the character development that we need to attain and sustain those goals. And that's ultimately what I want to talk about today. See, if we have motivation, if we are motivated to pursue our goals, we might hit them a couple days a week or a week straight, 2 weeks straight, but then eventually that chemical rush wears off and we need to practice discipline. But if we're disciplined, we can continue to strive for those smarter goals that we set. We have this clear picture of the goal we want to pursue. I'm going to read 100 books this year. I want to get out of debt. I want to take a vacation with my spouse. I want to attend every one of my kids' baseball games. Whatever it is, whatever the goal is, work or personal, finance or relational, public or private, whatever the goal is, setting that clear, smarter goal, you will not be able to attain that unless you are disciplined. You cannot rely solely on motivation. But embedded within that, and part of what we miss in the whole conversation about setting good goals, is the character development that it is needed to attain those goals. See, there's a reason. We can look at the financial world for this. You want to practice financial responsibility. How many of us have said, "Well, if I could just win the lottery," there was a, it's probably been close to 10 years by now, if I had to guess, that there was like some insane, I mean, like $500 million jackpot, right? Like the lottery was just at an insane, ridiculous amount of money. And my wife and I don't play the lottery, but we were intrigued by that one. And so we sat down and said, you know, if we were to go buy a ticket and win, what would we spend the money on? And so we started to look and like, okay, well, we're winning whatever it was, $500, $550, $600 million. I don't even remember the exact amount. It was just this insane amount of money. If we were to win that, what would we spend it on? And so we set aside, well, you got to set aside, you know, this amount for taxes. We kind of took half out for taxes. Great. What would we do? Well, we would pay off all of our student loans. And so we kind of took the money we had left after taxes and deducted our student loans. All right. We don't own our own house. Let's buy a house. And so we deducted that amount. All right. Let's set up college funds for all of our kids. We set up their college funds, deducted that amount. Let's go to our immediate family, so our parents and our siblings, and pay off their houses and their college debts. And so we kind of guessed what we thought people would owe, and we deducted that amount. All right, we need to set some aside for savings. We deducted some. You know, it'd be good to travel, and if we travel somewhere in the U.S., maybe we want a second house. Let's buy a second house. And we deducted that. And on and on and on, we continued, and well, let's try this, and let's try this, and let's buy this, and wouldn't it be cool to have a new car? And we just continued to deduct expenses, and we kind of hit, like, the end of our wish list. Like, we have gone through absolutely everything. We have taken trips of lifetimes and set our kids up for college and paid off all of our debt and all of our immediate family's debts and bought multiple homes and have multiple cars and kind of like in this hypothetical scenario, we have spent money on everything that this world could bring us that would entice us. And we still were like, what are we going to do with this last $100 million? Like we spent hours just kind of going over this exhaustive list of what is everything on earth that we could possibly think would be fun to buy. We just couldn't spend that amount of money. Now, we didn't buy a ticket, didn't play, didn't win. But in the financial world, I think the lottery, in that sort of example, works really well. Because hypothetically, we have all of this money left over. We just wouldn't know what to do with that kind of money. And yet in practice, I'm sure we would have had no problem spending it all. And that is the point I want to talk about today. That's the difference about not just pursuing these goals. I could say my goal is financial health, financial fitness. I want to be financially astute. I want to have a well-funded retirement account. I want to be debt-free. I want my kids to be debt-free. I want to pay off my college. I want to have multiple homes, right? Like whatever it is, in theory and in concept, we can start to write down our goals, write down the parameters for what we think financial success looks like, and we can start to work on what those goals will look like. But just as important, and just as embedded within that, is the need to be the type of person, to have the character of the person that can sustain those goals. You see, it's no wonder that the vast majority of lottery winners actually end up broke again. That whatever their financial situation is heading into the lottery, they win it big, they get $20,000 for the rest of their lives, they win $100 million in cash out, they win $500 million in cash out, whatever it is, and within a matter of years, what you end up seeing is that they are almost all broke again. Why? Because it is one thing to say that I want to attain this goal, and it is entirely another to be the type of person that has the character developed to sustain that goal. Every single one of those lottery winners would say, boy, if I were a millionaire, my life would be different. And what happened? They became a millionaire and their life was no different. They started broke and they ended broke. And in the vast majority of the situations, they actually ended up more broke. They actually won $100 million and somehow became poor because they spent it all and went into debt and put it all on credit cards and didn't know how to balance it and didn't know how to budget it and didn't know how to be a person worthy of owning and maintaining and properly stewarding $100 million, and they blew it all. So it's one thing for us to set a goal. It's another thing for us to have the character to maintain that goal, to be a person worthy of accomplishing that goal. Maybe you're a business owner, you're like, boy, if my business could just make $1 million in profit this year, my business would finally break through. And then you have that year and you realize your financials aren't in any better position than when you were making $500,000 a year or $600,000 a year. That business doubled this year. It was a good year for business. Your business doubled. Your profits doubled, and yet still somehow you don't have any better finances. Why? Because it's one thing to pursue the goal, have my business gross $1 million. It is another thing to pursue becoming the type of person that can handle that goal. And that's not just true in finances. I want a really strong marriage. So I'm going to date my wife every single week and make sure we get vacations and find ways to say I love you. And yet I can do all of those physical acts, but if I'm not inwardly developing the character to be loving and gracious and forgiving, and I'm taking her on dates, but I'm a jerk the whole time to her. We spend lots of time together, but it's emotionally manipulative and abusive. I buy my wife lots of things, but it's only so she can do what I want for me later. See, it's one thing to pursue the physical goal. It's another thing to pursue the qualities and characteristics of being the person that can maintain that goal. You want a strong marriage? Don't just date your wife. Work on loving her more. You want a strong marriage? Don't just buy her stuff. Find ways to serve her sacrificially. You have a fantastic home life. Don't manipulate your spouse to get what you want. One is about a definitive, often physical, tangible, touchable product or end. The other is about the internal dynamics and characteristics of being a person worthy of that calling and worthy of maintaining that success. You want to be a person, that can be capable of grossing and maintaining and stewarding $1 million. Don't just aim for the $1 million goal. Work on the character development to practice good financial stewardship when you're making $50,000 a year. You see, the problem is not that if you made $2 million this year instead of $50,000, your life would be perfect. If you're still not practicing good financial discipline at $50,000, what makes you think you'll practice it at $2 million a year? Bad habits are bad habits all the way around. Then it is good to pursue goals. It is even better to pursue being the person having the character development of maintaining those goals over the long term. Put it in any one of our 7 areas of health. You can have a goal related to your calling, or you can be a person worthy of the calling that you have received. You can attempt to attain spiritual health through disciplines and practices. And I go to church every week. I read my Bible every day. Or you can allow that to actually transform your life and your worldview and the way you interact with those around you. Emotional health, mental health, physical health, relational health, financial health, everything related to the health and integrity and pyramid that we have talked about, all of it has this duality built in. Yes, we need to, in the context of coaching, set some clear goals. But if I'm honest, once we set those clear goals, we actually very rarely talk about what needs to be done to help attain those goals. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we need to. Maybe you're stuck and you feel like, I really just don't know what to do about this marketing plan or this employee issue or where to surprise my wife for the next anniversary dinner. Like, sometimes we may actually need to talk about the actual goal itself, but far more often, once we set the parameters for the goals, what is it that you want to work on over the course of the next year? We almost never talk about that goal again. Instead, we spend our focus and our time talking about being a person worthy of achieving and maintaining success in those goals. Our energy is not spent on the physical, tangible completion of the goal. It is spent on the inner character development and the outer working of that, so that when the goal becomes achieved, it's not a one-time thing, it's not a one-trick pony, it's not a flash in the pan of success, but it is long, sustainable, continued success that becomes repeatable because you have the character development and the capacity to handle even more. That is, we look at every area of your life in the coaching context. Our focus is not, what do you have to do? What are steps 1 through 8 on grossing $1 million this year? It is, what is the inner work? What are the areas of your life that aren't actually ready to maintain that financial level? What are the areas of your heart where you are selfish and greedy and vindictive and petty and spiteful? And that if you had that money, you wouldn't actually use it for good. You'd use it to manipulate people. Those are the things that we need to work on. Because the reality is, most of the physical goals that we set for ourselves are actually fairly easy. You want to lose 20 pounds? It's not that complicated. Eat right, drink lots of water, get plenty of sleep, exercise at least 3 times a week. Most of us could lose 20 pounds in a couple of months, if not sooner. But to fix the mindset that causes unhealthy eating habits and the need to binge eat junk food and to stay up late watching Netflix and to oversaturate our body with caffeine, fixing those things is a lot harder work. And that is the difference between setting a goal and being a person worthy of the goals that you have set. And that is what you need to do to be a mission-critical leader. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will catch you on the next episode.